The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. We'll have Jody Jackson on board today, Fox Sports AZ Diamondbacks Cardinals reporter. Also, Jody does the pre and post for the Coyotes. Today is a big day in the Valley because we have a new owner for the Coyotes. I know I've said this repeatedly. I know many of you are like, yeah, get back to me when they can get to the playoffs. But once again, you have to have optimism and hope that this is the right guy. So Jody will be with us, give us a little feeling on what the Coyotes are going to be doing. I'm heading to Cardinal practice as soon as we are done here. If you're saying, I don't think you like August football, well, it's August 1, and there's some intrigue. I do like watching Kyler Murray. I'll be honest with you. I would anticipate a week from tonight when the first preseason game is played between the Cardinals and Chargers that the ratings will be pretty good even though it's fake football. I would like to see what those ratings look like in the fourth quarter, and if anybody's watching fourth quarter exhibition football, they need to go on a date. They just do. Tonight is the first game of preseason. It is Atlanta and Denver. Eric, are you going to watch tonight? Are you excited as I see on social media people saying this is the last day of no football? Well, now it is football. Between now and the end of February, we have football every week. The Broncos and Falcons. Falcons have already said Julio Jones is not playing at all in training camp.
Define watching.
You can have it on.
I'll probably have it on, but it won't be priority viewing.
What else is on tonight?
I don't know. I have a house that needs to be cleaned, so I might just have it on.
Clean the house.
Background noise.
You know what happens at my house now when my wife is cleaning? The freaking Hallmark Christmas channel's on. It's July. It's the QVC, and she's not buying anything. She just thinks it's cool that they can get in the holiday spirit when it's 115 degrees. Guys, are you in the same boat as me? I mean, my existence of Hallmark Channel, Christmas movies, it's the same plot. Over and over and over. Some poor girl's trying to find a nice dude. He works at the fire station. He climbs up a ladder. The ladder falls down. He gets hurt. She ends up being at the hospital as a nurse. They hook up. It's over. Done.
So clearly you like watching them.
Oh, my gosh. It's a disaster.
Goody, I can't handle it.
Your
friend Goody put up on social media a picture recently of Halloween costumes and decorations already being out in stores. And this was back in July. And he's like, it's July and we're already thinking about Halloween. Really?
My wife is going to Costco today. She's taking her dad. I said the same thing of, you know, you're going to come home with like pumpkins and...
Yeah, and a fake Christmas tree and all kinds of nonsense.
Yeah. Just... So you could do that tonight, put on the Hallmark garbage.
I would never do that.
It's like you turn your man card in on that. You really do. Or you can watch Broncos and Falcons. I'm not watching Broncos Falcons. I'll probably have it on the background.
See?
MySpace, though, is different now. Like last night, my son is now trying. He's got a toe in the water on football. So last night at 6 o'clock, he said, hey, can we watch the NFL Network? So we're watching the top 100 players in the NFL this year.
He's going to have more than a toe in football over the next 4 years.
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know. You think?
Cole, you don't have a choice. You're going to play football because guess what? Your free ride to college relies on you just putting your body in front of little defensive ends and squashing them to the ground.
So I'll tell you a quick story.
First, give me the height and weight so people that aren't familiar with your soon-to-be freshman. Oh, I guess school has started.
School started.
Your freshman.
We're in Chandler. We start in the middle of summer.
How tall is he? 7'6", 290.
6'6", 295. Yeah. He weighed in that last night.
Okay. Continue with your story.
Today's his first day of full pads. He has no clue.
Ooh.
He has no idea. He didn't even know how to put his helmet on.
At least it's not humid, and it's going to be a nice, right. Cool day outside.
So. I told him, I said, you're going to be 280 when
exactly.
You get up there. No, but so I'll tell you a quick Todd Heap story.
That's a name we haven't heard in a while.
No. So, you know, we like Todd a lot.
Yep.
And we've thought about Todd with the tragedy that he went through. But before that, Todd sat in this studio. He was one of those players that the career was over and it's okay, what do I do now? So we had him come in and he was really good. And we were talking off the air about Todd played water polo. He played water polo for Mesa. My son has been playing water polo. Those of you guys that watch every day or occasionally know that I'm big in the water polo world. And somebody took Todd aside, to Eric's point, when he was around a freshman or sophomore and said, now, you can play water polo and play at a pretty high level, or you can go make a lot of money in the NFL as a tight end. And that was the end of him. I think it was Bernie Buskin who told me that story initially. That was the end of Todd Heap playing water polo. So, yeah, I don't know. It's not easy. I'm going to write about this stuff. I did one dad diary thing in July, and people really either hated it or liked it. And I'm in this space now, guys, where I'm seeing things from a football dad's perspective, as well as sitting here seeing how the sport has grown positively and negatively through the years. I will say to you this. I'm more excited that 3 weeks from today, the U of A plays at Hawaii. 3 weeks. I am more excited about that than I am Broncos and Falcons tonight. August, NFL's the worst. College football is not pretty usually early. Last year when Arizona opened against BYU, and we were all excited to go down there and see Khalil Tate because he was a Heisman Trophy front runner and he had Noel Mazzoni on the sidelines. Everything was going to be great. And by the time we got to the end of the first quarter, I was like, wow, this is awful. They're not even close to being on the same page. And it was dreadful. And Khalil's Heisman candidacy was over by the time the BYU game ended. ASU, they have their first game on August 29th. It's 28 days away. They host Kent State 4 weeks from now. Mighty Kent State with Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman was a quarterback at Kent State, a really good quarterback. So I don't want to hear this. It's little old Kent State. They got a great nickname, the Golden Flashes. ASU, they started practice last night. Camp Tonizona is next week, and Kevin Mawai goes in the Pro Football Hall of Fame this weekend. So there's a lot around ASU to get excited about. And then Oregon and Auburn is the game that I'm looking forward to in this month. So I want to get ahead of how college and high school is far more meaningful, unless you're a fantasy football player. To that end, Michael Fabiano will be with us on Monday. We have Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network on every year, every week during the regular season. He comes on with us a couple times in August to get your lineup set for fantasy football. Without fantasy football, the NFL is like half as interesting. So I get it. We see it in the numbers. All right, so looking forward to that. Opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And guys, you've got to do that with life insurance. Have you thought life insurance? I could talk to you about annuities. I could talk to you about fixed index. I could talk to you about rolling over 401k. I could talk to you about all sorts of financial terms. But I'm just talking to you about life insurance. You have obligations. You have a house. You have a car. You have payments. If something were to happen to you today, who would handle all of those necessary payments? Where would everything go? Do you have life insurance to cover all of your obligations? Or it could be used as a savings mechanism. It can be used for all sorts of things, not just a policy that sits over there in the corner. Log on, get your free quote. I got my license. I've helped some people out. Really enjoy doing it through the good people at Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most and do it with Sagicor Now. Jody Jackson here momentarily. So the Greinke trade came down yesterday. I was in my office, home office, watching the game against the Yankees. Greinke walks off the hill. He was pretty good. The rain is falling. It's like 12:58. There's nothing that's happening. Bob Nightingale, who I respect immensely, writes, the most boring, dull trade deadline ever. And then Ken Rosenthal sends out a tweet, Greinke to Astros. And then it was on. From there, the Diamondbacks get Mike Leake from Seattle. Earlier, they get Zach Gallen from Miami. So they get some young pitchers, but Zach Greinke's time here in Arizona, I sent Ken Kendrick a text last night. We're going back and forth on this. I have to commend, and some people want me just to say this was a flat salary dump and nothing more. If you take that as gospel, then you're not into building from within, which Mike Hazen truly, you can see, is about building from within. For those of you that are still hanging on to Paul Goldschmidt, if you haven't seen what Carson Kelly has done at the catching position for the Diamondbacks this year, or what Luke Weaver did before he went down with injury, to me, I've looked at that trade and said, Paul wasn't going to be here. He was getting long in the tooth. Carson Kelly looks like a guy that can be behind the plate for many, 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 many years and provide stability, reliability at a position that the Diamondbacks have not had much at through the years. So I trust when Mike Hazen at the last minute decides I'm going to go get four minor leaguers, four of the top 15 within the Astros organization. I'm in the position of when Mike Hazen at the draft last month gets seven picks in the first 100. Guys, if you just do the sheer numbers of what they've been able to do, and they shed payroll, this team might have made a run, but if they didn't, again, you'd have Zach Greinke at the top of the rotation, go into the offseason, have some people play footsie with you, and maybe you don't get as steep a price tag. For Houston, it makes all the sense in the world. They can now go match up with the Dodgers. It's going to be the Astros and the Dodgers. It's going to be. So for the Diamondbacks to take this step and go put a serviceable veteran like Mike Leake, put a good young arm and Gallen from Miami in the rotation, you got better yesterday in the long term. No, every fifth day you don't have that hired gun. I get it. Greinke was awesome. He was amazing. But he helped the team off the field yesterday even more so than on the field. He left here bringing in a whole bunch of kids rather than leaving as a free agency. Or as a free agent, rather than us sitting here every offseason saying, man, they can't do anything because they've got this big old albatross around their neck. So I think what Ken Kendrick did, they're trying to be good stewards. Every organization in town is different. We're all frustrated with what the Suns are doing because we don't know what they're doing. We don't know why they've been in the ditch and missed the playoffs for all these years. We don't know why the Cardinals hired a coach, fired a coach, hired a coordinator, fired a coordinator, drafted a guy in the first round, traded the guy in the first round, other than they have this super, super, superstar athlete who's been drafted in the first round for the first time in the top 10 in the history of pro sports. And if he breaks an ankle or something, where are we at then? The Diamondbacks, to me, have been consistent, okay? Have they won World Series? No. Have they put a competitive product out on the field every year? Yeah, since Dave Stewart got run out of town. I really believe in what Hazen is doing. I really do. All right, Jody Jackson is next. More on the Diamondbacks. She's also been out at the Cardinals. We were on the sidelines talking last week out there together. And also today, the Coyotes at 1 o'clock will introduce their new owner. All that next with Jody Jackson. I'm Brad Sussmat. Reminder, the Football AZ show on Fox Sports Arizona airs 12 times per week. Check your listings. It is on again tonight. Speaking of Fox Sports Arizona, Jody Jackson is with us now. Of course, Jody is a host, is a reporter, is a person about town with the Diamondbacks and Cardinals as we stood on the sideline the other day. And she also hosts, of course, the pre and the post for the Coyotes. And I do want to start there. What do you know about this new owner?
It's a busy time, right?
Yeah, I know. What do you know about this owner that will be introduced today at 1 o'clock, the latest in the line of ownership for the Coyotes? What do you know? What do you think?
Well, you know, I have not met him yet, but I know what I've heard from many colleagues who have talked to Alex Morello, and, you know, it sounds like he is a guy who has wanted to be part of a sports franchise and the direction of it, the leadership, the ownership. And, you know, obviously the big headline in town is that, you know, he has more money than the previous owner. So at least it seems that way. That's what I'm hearing. And you've seen the move with Phil Kessel. And you're just hearing that there's going to be maybe an increased level of ability to spend money, you know, not to say they're going to go crazy spending money on players or anything like that, but, you know, the ability maybe to put more money toward that than there was in the past. We know how hard it's been with the franchise, with the Coyotes in the last, gosh, Brad, you know, it's been a really long journey with getting some stability. And I mean, a credit to Andrew Barraway, Aaron Cohen, the entire group that has been involved, and there's been many investors, but you know, the last couple of years have been more stable, I feel like.
Right. So, right.
That's been wonderful. And they've been going in a very good direction with the current players that they have. And the fact that they almost made the playoffs last year is exciting. So I think it's a great story. I have heard Aaron Cohen, you know, speaking glowingly of his story as far as the entrepreneurial spirit and, you know, turning his businesses into, you know, one into many. And it sounds like an exciting time. I'm excited to get out there today and really hear more about it.
you and I will be sitting there together. I think
we've been able to spend some time together lately.
Yes, we have. We have.
So that's the beauty of, if you get into the games, it's more about training camp. If you're a training camp and things like that, you have a little more time to chat. So
what did you make out of the other day when we're standing there watching Kyler Murray drop dimes? Because I had people that said, you're not the most positive person about where the Cardinals have been the last few years. No, I haven't been. That's true. And I don't think most people have. But when I see Kyler Murray just doing things that a number one overall pick should do, I couldn't help but be like, wow, okay, this is really interesting. This is going to be fun to watch what he's able to do. I don't know if it's going to equate to wins. Are you feeling the same way?
Yeah, I mean, physically, sometimes, you know, sports can be complicated, right? And you can have a lot of different plays that you run in whatever sport that you're doing. You know, there can be a lot of strategy and there can be a lot of, research that you do that maybe gives you an edge, you know. But, you know, with Kyler Murray, when you hear Cliff Kingsbury talk about him, he's just like, well, yeah, since he was seven, he could just outrun everyone. Since he was seven, he could just throw the ball, you know, farther than everyone.
Right.
I mean, some things aren't, like, super hard to figure out. Now the question is, what does that mean for the Cardinals? Well, you know, you're trying to figure out at this point in time what's real and what's not, and what's going to translate into, like you said, how many wins. Well, the one thing that I've noticed is everyone wants to make a really big deal about how this offense is revolutionary in the NFL, and to some extent that might be true. But I think the big thing is the familiar nature of it to Kyler with Cliff, and the fact that you're hearing Larry Fitzgerald say, you know, he just knows everything already. So he doesn't know what's coming from NFL defenses because he hasn't seen it. He might expect it.
Right.
But it's going to be different when he sees it. But the fact that there doesn't seem to be this tremendous transition with the playbook and, you know, a lot of confusion or anything like that, we've all seen that at times. And I'm sure that will come in the preseason because there's so many other factors that are going to come in, like, you know, calling the plays into the helmet and all of the, you know, all the little things that actually do matter a lot. But, you know, physically, yeah, it's exciting to see. I think a lot will come down to how the young receivers can grasp everything. Of course, you've got targets in Fitz, Christian Kirk, and David Johnson, assuming he's going to be involved in the passing game like he was a couple of years ago. You know, these guys they should lead the way, even though we're all excited about the rookie receivers. And then the rookies, you know, will they catch on? And then the O-line. So offensively, there's a lot there, but I mean, there's a lot of promise because they've improved the O-line and they've improved all the positions. And you have a guy in Kyler Murray that he just doesn't seem fazed at all by, you know, anything yet. So we're going to find out more as the preseason continues.
Are you taller than him?
It's kind of funny. I interviewed him when he went out to D-backs, and I didn't, you know, I'm always wearing maybe like a 1 or 2 inch heel, right?
Yeah, nothing wedge crazy. Or something. Yeah.
But yeah, he's not.
You're taller than him, aren't you?
Tall.
You're taller than him.
Well, I don't know if I'm taller than
you're
him.
You're right there.
I'm probably close.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is coming from you. You're taller than everyone, right?
No, I know.
Well, and the other thing, when you really look at him, he's just very stout. You know, he's very athletic, but he's not a small person. You know, he might be not the tallest guy, but he's built, you know, hopefully he's not going to get banged around too much. But, you know, he looks like he's, you know, built to be able to deal with some of that. You know, he's not a small framed person is what I'm saying. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. I think we've seen, depending on the offense you run, you don't necessarily have to be the prototypical, you know, 6'3", 6'4" guy. And Baker Mayfield, the guys, you know, guys like that are proving that.
Yeah, when he takes a shot, it will be interesting. I that's my point on this whole deal with him.
Like anything, though, Brad, and especially when you put all your eggs in one basket with one guy. I'm not saying Brett Hundley can't run this offense. Of course he's going to be able to, but you have to keep your quarterback healthy. That's nothing new. Maybe it's a little bit heightened because he's such a perfect fit, right? So that's going to be really important. And can he run away from everyone? Eventually you're going to get hit here or there. But, he's so much more equipped for it than some of the other quarterbacks we've seen that were, you know, not as mobile, not as agile.
Well, it's kind of like Jaden Daniels. I'll use this comparison over at ASU. Now, Jaden's much taller.
I haven't seen him at all, to be perfectly honest.
That's
so
fine.
I'm kind of excited. I'm hearing a lot of great things, though.
Okay, here's the deal. If you pour tomato juice in him and turn him sideways, he's a thermometer, all right? That's
oh wow.
He's a matchstick. He's a matchstick. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's put on a little bit. It sounds like.
And he's like he's 19 or something crazy like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a pup. So I mean, you look at these guys and you say, yeah, if they take big hits, how are they going to respond from that? So let's move on from there. We're talking with Jody Jackson, Fox Sports Arizona reporter, host. Big day today. The Coyotes at 1 o'clock press conference. Cardinals have practice today. The Greinke trade yesterday, what was your initial reaction?
I mean, I was pretty surprised. Looking back, it's a great move in many ways. I mean, you look at the prospects and then you look at the financial freedom and you kind of get, I honestly had chills a little bit. I was kind of like, okay, here we go. You lose a great player, you lose a great pitcher. We all know how great Zach Greinke was, but just like Paul Goldschmidt, he was one player. And we know this team needs more. I'm not diminishing his value at all. I feel like he was worth everything that they paid him. But we all know what tying up one guy means. So yep. I kind of, you know, when you kind of think about, did that really happen? As far as the Astros really weren't prepared to, you know, they had come out and said we really didn't want to give up these four guys, and it didn't appear like the D-backs were going, you know, they certainly weren't, you know, hell-bent on trading Zach Greinke. It just appears to have happened for the right price. So it was pretty exciting to see the fact that now when you look at the offseason and you see what they're going to be able to do financially and you feel really good about the decision-making over there, it's pretty exciting. This could be a foundation that we see between the seven picks and the top 75 from the draft.
Yep.
These four guys, Zach Gallen, who's a major leaguer, but he's fresh to the majors. It's pretty interesting. You can see a sustained period of success coming. I'm not saying they're all going to pan out. Obviously, all the draft picks, all of these guys from the Astros, I mean, you just don't know. But I'm going to be real interested to see what they can do. Maybe not even, maybe as soon as next year, but definitely down the line when these draft picks start coming up.
Well, and I'd even throw the Goldschmidt trade to me has been a win for the Diamondbacks, even with Luke Weaver's injury. Carson Kelly has solidified the catching spot like we have not seen solidified in a long, long time. And
he's up to 14 homers now after a couple on the road trip. So
yeah.
It's not about homers, but I mean, it's just he's a weapon, you know, offensively. And I think you're right when you say that. I think, by the way, I realized the other day I was, kind of talking through a few things. I mean, I felt this way since Luke Weaver got injured. I feel like if Luke Weaver wasn't injured, they would be in a wild card spot.
I agree with you on that. I do agree with you on that
he
because it's been
that well.
It's been that
they've really
hard.
Patched it together.
Yeah.
It's been these guys have done a great job. They've patched it together with Taylor Clark, Alex Young, Duplantier came up a little bit. I think it was a little early for some of these guys, even though, Young's doing fine. But, it's been – they have really been fighting to stay competitive, and in a number of ways, whether it's Torrey Lovello and the way that he's managed or Mike Hazen and the group with guys they've brought in. Even now, even right now, I'm not saying they're going to go on some kind of tear, but they could. I mean, it's possible.
Well, I think that's probably the interesting side of this, Jody, is I think most people around town are saying, okay, baseball season is over. Let's just go watch football. And I don't know if that's going to be the case. If I'm Robbie Ray.
I would advise people to watch the baseball team.
Yeah. Yeah. We would both like to see an audience. Trust me. We'd both like to see an audience.
Yeah,
but if you're Robbie Ray and Robbie Ray's not traded and Zach Greinke is sent away and Robbie's pitched better as of late, he's pitched really well at times, and people say, yeah, he's done against bad competition. Okay. Prove yourself now. Start tomorrow night against Washington and show what you're all about here over the next 2 months that you don't want to be the guy that's just finishing out a season. You're going to get dealt for some prospects in November or December. Show that, I still belong here in Arizona.
No, I agree. This has been the best stretch of his career as far as throwing strikes and things like that, things that we've wanted to see from him. So I agree. This is a chance for him to just sort of continue that and not fade. So,
all right. Everything else is good then, right? You sound good. You look good. Everything sounds hunky dory on your end. So that's
thanks. I'm just wishing you the best with the upcoming knee situation going on. And
knee situation, yeah. When you have your knees amputated. No, I'm kidding. When you have your knees replaced,
I wasn't sure if it was a full replacement or if it was like different procedures, but you're going to be good. You're going to come out stronger, ready to go. I don't know, maybe even play some hoops.
I don't know if I'd go that far. You going to come in here? Are you going
to
come in here? Come in here sometime and do a show while I'm gone.
I would love to.
All right.
Just give me a holler.
I'll have Eric do it. So I'm going to be hollering. I'm going to be hollering for a different reason. So I'll let you let you go off that. I'll see you later today.
Exciting times in town. It's going to be good. I really feel that way.
There's Jody Jackson, Fox Sports Arizona. Jody's funny. I love having Jody on. Why have we not done Jody every week? Oh, wait, Eric suggested that, and I didn't follow through. You suggested that, didn't you? If I remember correctly, a while back?
I'm sure.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Man, I think it was when the professor left. When the professor
Jody's great. Jody knows her stuff. She's entertaining.
Can you have her host while I'm gone?
That's the plan.
Is it?
Yeah, it's great working with Jody because she knows what she's doing.
She just walks in.
Honestly, know what I'm doing. No, honestly, she just walks in and does the show and leaves. And it looks great. Like, I don't have to say, look at this camera, throw to this.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a script. Okay, cool, let's do it. Boom, done.
Of course, I'm the dope that'll tell Eric, hey, we should try this guy out. He's never done TV before.
Yeah.
And
dope,
I'm not going to be here.
Dope really wouldn't be the adjective I would use.
Dumbass or whatever. But, it's fine. It's fine. All right. We have a short segment on the other side, then Goody at the Movies. Stay with us. You know, when you watch what goes on in sports, you think everything is great. Everything's got to just be fantastic. And it's not always the case. David Griffin, who we like very much. David Griffin, of course, was with the Phoenix Suns for years and years and years. In 1993, when I got here, David Griffin was an assistant to the public relations department of the Phoenix Suns. And he told me, this is where your media credential is, and this is where you park your car. Years later, David Griffin was the general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron James, and he was winning an NBA championship. And now he's in New Orleans, and I think they're going to do very, very well. He and Alvin Gentry are reunited. They have Zion. They've got a lot of talent. He figured out how to get Anthony Davis out of town. And I really like the direction that they are heading. And David is a very good person. David, I'm bringing this up today because David spoke in depth about how miserable he was in Cleveland being the general manager of the Cavaliers, how miserable he was on a daily basis, and how he knew that when they won the championship that night that it was time for him to go, to get out of there. And so what it always looks like on the outside of professional sports, and you guys maybe say, man, if I could just be the GM of this, or if I could be the scout for that, life would be so much better than what I'm currently doing. And that doesn't mean you don't chase your dreams. But it was really a fascinating read from David about the idea of just winning a championship would solve all of his problems, and where he is now in life. Now that he's down in New Orleans and he's got an opportunity there to work with somebody that he gets along with immensely in Alvin Gentry. And I'm just pulling up the quote here that he had. Let's see here. I had it. It's the art of organization. He was miserable building around LeBron James. David Griffin detailed the challenges of his three seasons working with LeBron James, saying the experience was miserable and questioning James' winning instinct in Los Angeles. This is in Sports Illustrated, published today.
Where's your computer?
I have it here next to me, but I'm on the run today. I have a computer
on the
in my hand.
So much that you can't open up your MacBook and plug it in. And
I have it here in my hands. You're going to see me ghost as soon as this show's over.
No, we have to talk.
No, we don't.
We do.
We have a phone.
We have our Thursday post-show conversation. Anyway, get back to David Griffin. Sorry. I just had to clown on you for
clown on
having
me.
Your computer.
I know. It's
like going to the airport without your suitcase, but continue.
Or my ticket. Everything we did was so inorganic and unsustainable and frankly not fun. I was miserable. Literally, the moment we won the championship, I knew I was going to leave. There was no way I was going to stay for any amount of money. There wasn't a lot else for him, Griffin said.
Not pulling any punches, like zero punches.
Griffin told Sports Illustrated he privately wept the night the Cavaliers won the title, saying he was so obsessed with winning that he didn't love the game anymore.
It makes sense.
Sure it does.
Now, I mean, when you win a title, I'm sure there's all kinds of different emotions that go through you, I would think.
When the Diamondbacks won in 2001, there were more things, and I don't even know half of them, but there were more things that I saw in my space of people that were miserable and people that were at each other's throats because they wanted more attention than someone else. Front office executive and manager before 2001.
Yep.
That were holding each other up against walls, threatening to deck them. Yeah.
It's a long season. They're around baseball players and managers and coaches are around each other all the time.
Manager that didn't want certain things on the Jumbotron at certain times.
At least he's not didn't sweat the small things, right?
Star pitcher who didn't want the roof open and fought every day.
I think I know who you're referencing.
Star pitcher who didn't feel like there was enough attention given to him while the other star pitcher was getting all the attention.
As they're collecting their million-dollar paychecks.
Yeah, back then it was just millions.
Yeah, just millions.
I mean, there was just – there's stuff that goes on in sports where – Danny Ainge gave me the greatest quote ever. The greatest quote ever. He said, Brad, coaching an NBA team, and this is applicable to any sport, coaching an NBA team, you walk in into the locker room and there's 12 different islands that are really 12 different corporations that have 12 different CEOs with 12 different agendas. When I go out to the Cardinals today, 80. You go over to, you know, the Diamondbacks, it's 25. Like yesterday, there were probably privately some guys that were happy that Greinke was moved and probably unhappy some others that he was moved. Because some of those guys have numbers that they may be able to hit for bonuses in their contracts with more victories or with better results from the pitcher. It's the way that sports has changed. So here's a guy that has the biggest name in the history of the sport outside of Michael Jordan and LeBron James, and he's miserable with him on his team. So is this a direct shot at LeBron James? I would think so. I would think there's something there. LeBron is getting all the credit and none of the blame, and that's not fun for people, Griffin said of the challenge of working with and playing with James. They don't like being part of that world. End quote. So the Pelicans hired Griffin in April. He's quickly reworked the roster after losing Anthony Davis by building around number one overall pick Zion Williamson. He actually didn't lose Anthony Davis. He traded him. Griffin said he'll continue adding players if the postseason is within his reach. People are going to be like, I'm quoting him, David Griffin. People are going to be like, what the F are they doing? He said. We're trying to win basketball games! Exclamation point.
So simple. It really is just so simple. And he has done a great job just completely reworking that roster in the, 6 months that he's been there?
Okay, so which roster would you rather have for the next 5 years, the Lakers or the Pelicans? Come on.
It's pretty easy.
Yeah. So Anthony Davis wasn't happy in New Orleans. He's got an agent telling him what to do. LeBron wants to play with his son when his son gets done playing the AAU stuff. By the way, I kind of like how LeBron is at the AAU games. I know people don't. For some reason, I kind of like that he's just being a dad rather than not showing up at his kids' games. Being in the layup line and when his kid dunks a ball and he goes crazy. The kid's only in ninth grade. There's a kid here in the Valley that actually played with LeBron's kid last weekend. And LeBron put him on his Instagram story. And so, you know, he's having fun being a dad. I can't fault someone for that. One other note before we get out of here for Goody, and that is in about, we taped this at 10 a.m. So in about an hour and plus at noon, Arizona time, Bruno Fina, considered one of the top offensive linemen in this year's recruiting class. We do a lot of recruiting here over with Jordan Hamm. Jordan Hamm has let me know that at noon, Bruno will release to Jordan. Jordan has a video of Bruno talking about where Bruno is going to attend, and that will be at noon on the website today. So,
and if that last name is familiar, it should be. It's John Fina's son. John Fina played in the NFL for over 10 years, former U of A Wildcat.
But Bruno's, he's tiny.
But U of A is not.
He's Kyler Murray Bruno's size, right?
No.
Maybe his right leg.
But he's not. But he's not a gigantic offensive lineman.
You don't think?
No.
What's his measurements?
He's probably 6'3", about 250, 260, but he's still growing. And the colleges that have recruited him have done all kinds of neat tests, like measuring the size of his hands and putting him through all these projections as to, okay, how,
where are you going to end up?
Exactly. How big can your frame get? Because he's still getting bigger.
You know what's interesting about what we do?
Like, Jalen Jeffers is just a gigantic person, yeah, and he just turned 17 years old. He's like 6'6", weighs 275 pounds or something insane. Bruno Fina's not that big.
What's interesting about what we do is the other day Jalen Jeffers is here, a kid going to Oregon, and Eric says to him, are you still growing? Like, you've seen these kids enough that it struck you that he is still growing. Who was the other kid that you said that to? Byron Murphy. It was Byron Murphy.
Yeah, Byron Murphy. Definitely. He definitely got taller since the last time I said.
Yeah, you were
from the time of the draft until the time he came in studio, he probably grew a half inch.
You were sizing him up, and you're like, yeah, are you taller? So
Devin said last year Bruno Fina played at 6'4", 245.
Yep. 6'4", 245. Yeah. All right. We'll have Goody at the Movies next. He wrote about the West Wing, and he watched the Democrats yell at each other last night. So we're going to talk to Bill about that and other stuff. Stay with us. Now it's time to bring on board Goody at the Movies, or Goody on his world travels. He's been on vacation. So I'm assuming you have not seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood or Hobbs and Shaw or The Irishman or anything here because you've been on vacation. Am I to assume correctly?
Correct.
What is
you
the...
are. And The Irishman, not out yet, but I can't wait to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
What's the next movie you're going to screen, do you think?
I'm going to screen something Tuesday night.
Yeah?
I just can't remember the name of it.
All right. But what's Upon a Time in Hollywood? It's sports related.
Yeah.
Ford and Ferrari, that's in November.
It's about a football player who was wrongly accused of.
Oh, yeah. What was the name of that? I did see that. I didn't see it.
I can't think of it.
All right. Well, what have you heard about? What have you heard about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood before we get into other stuff? Have you heard anything about it yet?
I've heard that it's really good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've heard it's really good, that it's unexpectedly sort of emotional and sweet. And then at the very end, it takes sort of a Tarantino's turn. But I like it. I really like Brad Pitt. And everybody is writing and saying that this is his best work in a long time. I think he's kind of always good. Probably the best in-person interview I ever had with like a real famous person was with Brad Pitt. It was at the Toronto Film Festival, and it was just me and him in this hotel room. And he just, for whatever reason, I was tired, and I just was asking him questions that I normally wouldn't ask, just like his, like, I didn't care, you know. And he was answering, he loved it, and we really got along. And then he, at the end of it, he said, I got to go outside, you want to come with me? And I said, sure. And we walked out without any publicist or anything, and I thought that was funny. And then, of course, about 20 seconds later, they got wind of this, and they came running down the hall and separated me from him and made sure that we did not get into the same elevator.
Why is it that not surprised me?
It was really, this is what I told him. The way that we got along was because the first question I asked him was, I said, you know what? You're rich, you're famous, you got a beautiful girlfriend, you've got a great family, you do a great job. But the reason the media hates because he went to the University of Missouri. He was a journalism major.
Yeah.
But he laughed and he said, but I did not graduate. But then I had this whole line of questioning where I was going to ask, like, do you think that, you know, studying the media helped you and da-da-da? And he said, not really. He said, I wanted to be an editorial cartoonist. I just took that stuff. But then, for whatever reason, that, like, really set us off on this path where he, and my kids still bug me about this, at one point he said, I used to be really guarded and everything. Now I'll talk to whoever. You can call me and ask me, da-da-da. And I said, yeah, that's the thing. People say that. You say that I can call you. But it's not like I have your cell phone number. And he said, well, actually, and then, like, when he paused for a second, I said something else, and it, like, cut it off and cut the train of thought. And my kid's like, you got that Brad Pitt's cell phone.
I've asked you this before, but it's been a couple of years. Who's the most famous person that's called in and stopped your household because you have to go do the interview? Because they call, the way it works for the audience, the way it works is these PR people get them on the phone, they call Bill, Bill's got to go excuse himself and talk to fill in the blank person, and your house probably's got to shut down, right? Or you just go in the office?
No, I walk around. What I started doing, especially when my youngest daughter was really small, because the older kids kind of got it at some point, but when my youngest daughter was still really small, I would always start the conversation. And what I liked about this was you could tell how it was going to go if you said this. I would say, just so you know, if you hear the screams of a 2-year-old girl before we're done, don't worry about it. Everything's under control. and if, depending on how they reacted to that, you could tell it was going to be great. And for instance, the best response ever to that was Keanu Reeves said, outstanding. and then he ended up being like this fantastic interview. But then some other times you could tell it wasn't going to go well if they just said, okay.
Yeah.
Although I did once come downstairs. I started my tape recorder on a phone downstairs, took the thing, went upstairs, talked to Jim Carrey for 20 minutes. About 15 minutes into it, I walked downstairs, and my youngest daughter had turned off the tape recorder and was playing with it.
And she lived to tell.
Yes.
I'm going to give you a little personal antidote, and then I'm hoping you can give me some response. So I'm going to have double knee replacement on August 13th. And I'm going to be laid up for 3 weeks, two to three weeks. So I need some series. You know, I don't know if it's on Amazon or whatever. I'm going to need some series or some movies that I haven't seen in a long time to just catch up on. So I got Netflix booted up. I'm getting everything ready. Do you have some suggestions? If you don't today, next week or the week. Oh, next week will be our last week before I do it. But do you have any suggestions, Bill?
Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of stuff. I mean, it's almost hard. One thing that's going on right now that I'm really liking, but it's on Hulu, is a new season, 10, 12 years later, of Veronica Mars, which I really liked. And you could, if you didn't watch it when it first came on, you can watch the first three seasons that were in like 2006 or something like that. I really liked that show, and it was sort of came in as. We talked about before, I loved the show Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's kind of a strong young woman, that kind of thing, with no supernatural stuff, but I'm really enjoying that. Of course, you can do Stranger Things. You may think, oh, no, I don't want to see that. You did see it?
No, I started to. I just can't do it.
It's got that good, you know, the nostalgia thing, though. I mean, they do that pretty well. Although there's at some point with all the references to Stephen King and Fast Times at Ridgemont High and all these other things, at some point, you're like, where does homage stop and like ripping off begin? I don't know, but I still kind of enjoy it. But there's a lot of things. Russian Doll is a great series on Netflix. There's just no shortage of things. I'm trying to think. Fleabag.
You just did a thing on West Wing 20 years later, right? So
I did. I've watched that again. That was fun. That was one of the things I've enjoyed writing the most in a long time. Because I went back and I watched the first season, the episode of the first season, and it was just sort of a reminder of how much TV has changed, because TV is almost unrecognizable now as a medium compared to what it was then, and also how politics have changed. I mean, they had. This is a White House. Granted, it's fictional, but this is a White House where smart people sat around talking about smart things, and they had press conferences where there was a lot of arguments sometimes between the press secretary and the reporters, but they respected each other and they knew that they had jobs to do. There was not the same animosity and sort of venom and everything. And so, in some ways, it was really, really enjoyable, and in other ways, it was sort of frustrating and sad because you wonder if we're ever going to get back to something like that.
I don't see how we can, Bill. I watched maybe 15 seconds last night, and I know as a citizen, I should be more engaged. I'm just not. I just don't flat care, my problem. But it's just a bunch of people yelling at each other about nothing of substance. That's it.
Well, I think you can probably sit it out until you get down to 6 or 7.
Yes. Yes.
This is sort of the play-in game at the NCAA tournament, whatever they call it.
Good way to put it.
A lot of these people aren't going to be, you know, there will be, it's very similar to that, actually. There will be one or two that are like the teams that, you know, sort of the lower-seeded teams that surprise people and do better than you think they would. But it's going to end up, in fact, very similar to that. I mean, everybody likes Cinderella stories in the tournament, but it's almost always the big schools that end up in the Final Four.
That's true. That's a good way to put it.
I think it's going to be a lot like that. If I can remember that, maybe I'll write about it.
It's very smart the way you put that. I like that. All right. I may see you Tuesday night. I don't know. The name of the movie.
You get out as much as you can while you can.
I mean, I know. No kidding, right? Stay well. Thanks.
All right.
It was good at the movies. Hey, his phone hung in there for the most part today. It was good, for the most part. Devin Henry is our chairman of the board. If you've not read Devin's Sport of Speed and following what's going on at PIR, that is Devin's passion play. Doesn't mean he has other interests, because he does, but he writes quite a bit on the Sport of Speed twice a week, does some podcast work on it, has really taken that idea and run with it and done a great job. Eric Sorensen is always our senior executive vice president of Nothing or Everything. If you've not watched his deep dive on South Mountain football, it is on our homepage at sports360az.com. If you're just catching us here at the end, the show repeats for the next 24 hours. We are self-funded. That means all the sponsors that you see, they believe in what we are doing and they support us. Without their support, we will not be doing this. So we continue to do it. Coming up on year number 8. Have yourself a great day.